Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a percussion layer rack in Ableton Live 12 that you can control with macro knobs, and we're shaping it for jungle and old school drum and bass vibes. The big idea here is movement. In jungle, percussion should feel alive. It should breathe, shift, and evolve as the track moves forward. So instead of adding a bunch of separate automation lanes all over the place, we're going to build one flexible rack that gives us a few powerful controls for the whole percussion layer. By the end of this, you'll have a setup that can move between dry and tight, gritty and chopped, wide and atmospheric, or dusty and rolling. That's exactly the kind of energy that makes DNB percussion feel exciting without getting messy. Now, if you're brand new to this, don't worry, we're keeping it simple and practical. And I'll also point out a few pro-style ideas as we go. Start by choosing your source sounds. You only need a few percussion elements to begin with. Good choices for this style are rimshots, shakers, congas or bongos, metallic hits, chopped break fragments, hats, or little foley clicks and rustles. The reason these work so well is that jungle percussion often has a slightly raw, cut-up feel. It does not need to sound too polished. If you already have a breakbeat loop, you can slice it up and use pieces of that too. That's actually a great way to get instant old-school flavor, because the source material already has movement and character. Next, load a drum rack if you want separate pads for different percussion hits, or an instrument rack if you want to process one layered loop or a chain of sounds together. For beginners, I usually recommend the drum rack if you want to trigger individual hits, and a group track if you want to hear the whole percussion layer process together right away. Let's say you're using drum rack. Drag it onto a MIDI track. Drop 3 to 5 percussion samples into different pads, and program a simple 1-bar or 2-bar rhythm. Keep it syncopated. Think hats on offbeats, rim shots on backbeats or little in-between spots, shakers with a bit of swing, and maybe one metallic accent every couple of bars. That gives us something musical to shape. The macros will feel much more useful when the pattern already has some groove. Now we're going to build the processing chain. If you're working with grouped percussion or a percussion bus, add your effects in this order. EQ8, saturator, auto filter, drum bus, then maybe redux or erosion if you want extra grime, followed by delay and reverb. This chain gives you tone shaping, harmonic weight, motion, punch, dirt, and space. That's a very strong combo for jungle and DNB percussion. Let's set some starting points. On EQ8, high pass the low end, depending on your sounds, that could be somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz. The goal is to keep percussion out of the kick and bass area. If the sound feels boxy, cut a little around 300 to 500 Hz. And if you want more tick or presence, you can gently lift the upper mids or top end. On saturator, add a little drive, maybe 2 to 6 decibels to start. Turn on soft clip if needed. This is not about ruining the sound. It's about giving the percussion a bit more attitude and helping it cut through the mix. On auto filter, choose a low pass or band pass filter and start somewhere in the mid to high range. This will become one of our most useful macro map tools, because opening and closing the filter gives us instant movement and tension. On drum bus, add a bit of drive and maybe a little crunch if you want the hits to feel more forward. Keep the boom very subtle or off for most percussion layers, because we usually want the low end clean. If you want more snap, a tiny bit of transient boost can help a lot. If you want extra character, use redux or erosion lightly. Just a touch is enough. This can add that dusty, worn-in jungle edge without completely destroying the sound. Then add delay and reverb. Keep both fairly controlled at first. We're going for usable movement, not drowning the groove. Try sync delay times like 1/8 or 1/16, and keep feedback moderate. For reverb, use a short to medium decay and keep the wet amount low in the main groove. Now for the fun part. Select those devices and group them into an audio effect rack. On Mac, that's Command plus G. On Windows, Control plus G. Once the rack is created, open the macro section and start mapping. Here's a really useful macro layout for the style. Macro 1 is tone. Map this to the auto filter frequency, and if needed to a gentle EQ shell for filter point. Turn it left for darker, more old school, dusty percussion. Turn it right for brighter and more present percussion. Macro 2 is grit. Map this to saturator drive, drum bus drive, and maybe a little bit of redux or erosion. Left is cleaner, right is dirtier, crunchier, and more aggressive. This is a great knob for making percussion cut through a bass line. Macro 3 is snap. Map this to drum bus transients and maybe a small boost in the presence range around 2.5 to 5 kHz. Left is softer, right is punchier and more defined. This is especially useful for hats, rims, and small hits that need to pop in the mix. Macro 4 is dust. Map this to redux amount or erosion. Left is clean, right is dusty, aged, and worn in. This is a really nice jungle character knob, but use it carefully. A little goes a long way. Macro 5 is space. Map this to reverb dry slash wet and reverb decay. Left is dry and upfront. Right is wider, more ambient, and more washed out. Great for breakdown moments or little lift ups before a drop. Macro 6 is dub delay. Map this to delay dry slash wet, feedback, and maybe the filter inside the delay. Left means no delay. Right means dubby echoes and rhythmic trails. This is especially good on rim shots and metallic percussion hits. Macro 7 is width. Map this to utility width or anything similar that controls stereo spread. Left is narrow and focused. Right is wider and more atmospheric. Be careful not to overdo it. A lot of good DNB percussion still needs to hit hard in the center. Macro 8 is roll energy. This is your performance macro. Map it to a few subtle things at once, like a little more filter opening, a little more delay, maybe a touch more reverb, and a slight overall lift in intensity. This one is great for fills, transitions, and getting the groove to feel like it's coming alive. Here's an important coach note. Don't make the ranges too extreme. That's one of the biggest beginner mistakes. If a macro completely transforms the sound, it becomes hard to use musically. You want the knob to feel expressive, not chaotic. So limit the ranges. Keep saturator drive in a sensible zone. Keep reverb wet fairly low. Keep delay wet controlled. Let the filter sweep be musical, not ridiculously wide. The whole point is that the percussion should still sound strong and usable when the macros are at minimum. Also, keep the dry hits strong. If your unprocessed percussion loses its transient, the whole rack can start sounding blurry. Jungle and old school DNB need punch. Even when you add grit and space, the core hit still has to speak clearly. Now that the rack is built, let's think about arrangement. A really simple way to use this is over a 16-bar section. In bars 1 to 4, keep tone a bit darker, space low, and width moderate. Then in bars 5 to 8, slowly increase grit and snap. In bars 9 to 12, bring in a bit of dub delay on selected hits. Then in bars 13 to 16, open up tone and roll energy to push into the next section or the drop. That's the DJ style thinking here. Use the macros like your hands on a mixer. Small moves at the end of phrases can make the whole groove feel much more alive. Another great trick is to duplicate your percussion clip into a few versions. Make one dry and tight, one gritty and aggressive, and one more spacious and atmospheric. Then switch between them or automate different macro settings per section. This keeps the arrangement moving without needing to overcomplicate the MIDI. For example, your main groove can stay tighter and drier. Your fill version can have more delay and grit. Your sparse version can be more open and wide. That contrast is super useful in jungle, because the style loves energy shifts. As you listen, always check the rack in context with the kick, snare, and bass. That matters more than hearing it solo. If the percussion starts fighting the snare or crowding the low mids, pull back the wet effects, reduce the width, or tone down the brightness. In drum and bass, clarity is everything. And here's a really useful habit. Check the rack at low volume too. If it still feels clear and exciting quietly, that usually means it's going to work well in the full mix. Let's talk about a few common mistakes to avoid. First, too much reverb. That can smear the groove and kill the drive. Jungle needs space, but usually controlled space. Second, macros that are too extreme. You want subtle, musical control, not a giant special effect every time you move a knob. Third, too much top end. Bright percussion can be exciting, but if you push too far into harsh highs, the mix will get tiring fast. Fourth, ignoring masking. A percussion layer might sound huge on its own, but if it clutters the kick and bass, it's doing too much. Fifth, making everything wide. Wide sounds are cool, but if everything is stereo, nothing feels powerful anymore. Keep important hits focused. Now for a little extra character. If you want a darker DNB feel, keep the tone macro a bit closed and lean into mid-range grit instead of shiny brightness. You can also use filter delay instead of heavy reverb when you want movement without washing out the rhythm. If you want more old-school texture, redux and erosion can help a lot. Just use them lightly. The goal is that broken, worn in feel, not total destruction. You can also think about character-based macros instead of generic ones. For example, instead of just dust, you might build a lo-fi age macro that combines saturation, a little bit of bit reduction, and a slight high cut, or a ghost echo macro that adds short filter delay. Those names can make your rack feel more intentional and musical. A good beginner exercise is to build a very simple two-bar percussion rack with a rimshot, shaker, metallic hit, and chopped break slice. Add EQ8, saturator, auto filter, drum bus, delay, and reverb. Then map four macros, tone, grit, snap, and space. Write a short loop, close tone in the first bar, raise grit into the second bar, open space on the final hit, and boost snap on a fill. Then duplicate the clip and make a dry version, a gritty version, and a spacious version. Listen to which one feels like an intro, which one feels like a drop, and which one feels like a transition. That's the real skill here. You're not just processing percussion. You're designing movement. So to wrap it up, you've now built a macro-controlled percussion layer in Ableton Live 12 that can move between tight, dirty, wide, and atmospheric, all while staying useful in a jungle or old-school DNB arrangement.